just me.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, a special episode of the Cultural Hall in that it's a Happy New Year. So Happy New Year, everybody. 2013. Woo!
Yay, it's here.
We didn't make the New Year's resolution for the Cultural Hall that we set out to do.
What was
it? Make it to 2,000 fans before 2013.
Well, you can accomplish that in the 2013 year.
Yeah, but we wanted to do it by 2013.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay.
That's all right.
1,700 and something, that's good.
Yeah.
That's an honorable mention in the Reflections program.
Absolutely.
They didn't have Reflections where you came from. You don't know what I'm even talking about, do you?
Uh-uh.
Did they have like a school program where if you made art or if you made like poems or took pictures that you could get recognition and then compete at a state level?
Nope.
Yeah. Yep. They do that here.
We have sports where I come from.
I'm not. What are these?
Yes.
What are
sports,
they called?
You play hockey and soccer and lacrosse.
Is that physical?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
So no.
Yep.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. But this episode all about New Year's resolutions and keeping them. So make sure you listen to the second and third block. We visit with Betsy, who is an author of a book. And she gives us all sorts of great tips. Now, it's not just diet stuff, even though her book, the title of her book would make you think, oh, great, it's going to be another diet book, Richie. Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wasn't feeling fat enough already. It's all about making a goal, sticking to the goal.
And I'm obsessed with this stuff because I am terrible at sticking to these goals. Like, I'm just terrible at making the goals that are realistic.
Hey,
let's not do a negative.
Something that you've accomplished before that you were like, there's a goal and you did it?
I did a sprint triathlon.
See?
And I loved it. But I can't get back to that point.
But
I want to get back there. Yeah, I've done
so
it.
So you know you can.
Yeah, I know I'm capable.
So that's the thing. That's the thing that's so awesome about resolutions. You know what mine is?
What is that?
I am here recording this. That was my New Year's resolution. I'm lowering the bar for my resolutions.
Okay.
That way I can feel good every day.
You can accomplish that every day.
Like tomorrow's resolution, you want to know what it is?
Yes, please.
Go to work.
Oh, good.
That is my New Year's resolution, and I'm going to have one of those every day so I can be like, yeah, nailed it. I nailed that resolution.
Tomorrow's resolution, eat all the candy that's not going to be in my house for 2013.
Right.
Done.
Eat it all gone.
Yeah, done.
Yep, in my stomach. Without, and you know, when I get sick, still going to keep eating.
Yep.
But those resolutions, those little, you know, minor decisions that I'm going to make, that's going to help me into the 2013s.
Good for you.
Because even if they're bad for me physically, on the inside, they're letting me know that I can do anything that I set my heart on.
Yeah, as long as you set your mind to it, you can do it.
Did you have a good New Year's?
I did. Well, it was really lame.
Yeah?
Like sufficiently lame.
Like old-timers lame?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's my mother-in-law's birthday.
That is really lame.
On New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. So every year we go through... You know, do we spend the time with her? Do we make plans with friends? You know,
can't you do both?
Yeah,
I would think that you do the hey, let's go to dinner. We'll go to a nice dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. We're going to party with people that aren't old or like you are
older. And that was our plan. And then we never got any plans, so we just stayed with her the whole night, which was great because it made her birthday special and she was happy. So
did you guys do the Martinelli's at midnight?
You know what? We didn't. I barely made it to midnight. I was like, because we went to a movie and then we went to dinner and then you know, we chatted, went back to her house, gave her a present, stuff like that, and then.
What do you get as a gift for New Year's Eve? Do you have to make it themed on the whole thing?
No, you don't. We got my mother-in-law a Kindle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she is like way behind the times as far as technology goes, so she can't do...
So wouldn't a book be way behind the times as far as technology goes?
However, this is like her first step into,
into
technology. Yeah, she's like, this can hold 1,400 books? What do I do with this? Like, she loves to read.
We got you a Gutenberg press. Oh, thank you. I'm
and
a little behind the times.
I was at Best Buy, like, looking at the different things, and I was like, this is so ghetto, the Kindle. It's so old school.
Just like the OG?
Yeah, just the one, not a touchscreen, just with the buttons, like, you have to do letter for letter when you're typing in your email address. And yeah, so we got the Kindle. Anyways, we went back to my house like 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. and I was like out.
Just gone.
Yeah. So I will like woke up here and there and woke up like to watch the last 10 seconds of 2012 and then
kiss your husband.
Went to bed. Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
I mean, not to kiss your husband. I've never actually thought about kissing your... Let's move on from that.
You've probably thought about it.
He's a nice enough
dreamy.
Guy. He's a nice enough guy. I didn't get to kiss my wife. Now,
why?
So, I was working for DJ Rob.
Oh, that's right.
And
He
had a party up in Park City, Utah.
Yeah.
And I got called to do a wedding.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know. Maybe I'll... Okay. You guys are going to pay me? Sure.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
And so for the last 3 years now, the first New Year's Eve when my wife and I were dating, we hung out together. And we went to a party that she didn't have fun at.
Uh-huh.
And then every other New Year since we've been together, I've either had a show and she's been down at her parents, or yesterday I had a wedding.
Uh-huh.
She was at her parents. So she just kind of goes down. She falls asleep by like 10.
Yeah.
And for me, like New Year's is the one night that's kind of inexcusable that you have to at least kind of be doing something.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I've, you know, typically I've always got these shows, so I'm just doing something. But even if I didn't have the wedding, I was going to be like, hey, let's go out and do it. But I didn't get a kiss her.
Oh,
and they say it's like a bad omen, bad karma, bad luck.
I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I just think you're busy.
I gave her a kiss before she left, and I said, 3, 2, 1.
Cute.
She said, what are you doing? I said, kissing you. Good night.
Happy New Year's.
She took off.
That's cute.
Yeah, it was
I
fun.
Like that.
I'm a cute guy. You tell her that.
I will let her
Everyone
know.
Listening.
So, okay, you DJed a wedding,
mm-hmm.
and I was the wedding coordinator for a wedding before I left for vacation. So
yeah, how's that going?
We need to team up and, like, make this wedding thing happen.
How did your wedding coordination go?
Good. I loved it. I loved just, like, being in charge of things and cracking the whip and, like, yelling at the caterer to get the food on the tables.
And did that go well, though?
Yeah, it went really well. And the couple was happy, and the mom was happy.
Ooh,
so.
What food did you have? The food I had last night was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was really good food. Besides the fact that he was slow as nails and kind of not all together, mm-hmm. the food was amazing.
What was it?
There were like some appetizer, like crab cake type
stuff.
And then the dinner was like, there was some beef and some chicken smothered in the sauce.
Oh,
and then the potatoes were delicious.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And yeah.
Last night we had prime rib with aioli.
Oh my gosh.
It was unbelievable.
That's phenomenal.
I seriously probably ate like a half of a whole huge prime rib. And they're like, why does the DJ keep going back for food? But I got rolls and then big slabs of meat. There were veggies and all this other stuff there. And I'm like, nope. Baked brie. No, thank you. Meat, roll.
Meat and rolls.
Little bocce roll.
That's it. That's great.
So coming up this year in the Cultural Hall, we've got some pretty cool episodes that are coming up. Just want to tease you a little bit. We visit with a professional baseball player.
Really?
Guy who plays for the New York Mets. Catcher for the New York Mets. His name is John Buck. That'll be coming up in an episode this year. We visit with a very funny comedian, Stephen Jones, who you would recognize from that commercial that he did for BYU that then was a YouTube sensation, which was, look at your books, now back at me, now back
at
your books. The
Old Spice parody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've also got this Friday's episode, CJ and Kendrick. She's a mommy blogger. We've got a couple of the Aquabats and folks that are associated with Yo Gabba Gabba.
Okay.
So that's coming up this year. And that's only the first part of this year. We also this year, I've already made contact with, we're going to have two lesbian women.
Okay.
Who go to church, love the church, want to be a part of the church, and happen to be lesbians as well. That's coming up. We're going to do a big episode about adoption. We're going to do an episode about spouse abuse, spousal abuse.
Okay.
And how, you know, if you find yourself kind of in that situation, how to get out it. I'm sure we'll do another episode this year on pornography, and this time it'll be from a woman that is addicted to pornography. So that's coming up this year. Alex Boyer.
Love him.
Is going to be coming up this year. So that's just some of the stuff, and that's probably in the first couple months here of 2013. So make sure that you stick around with us. Keep listening. Share us with your friends. If you like a particular episode, let us know. If you have a suggestion for a particular episode, let us know what it is. You can do that by going to our Facebook page, searching the Cultural Hall, and then liking us, of course, and then getting in contact with us there. Or you can go to theculturalhall.com and contact us there. You can also follow us on Twitter at The Cultural Hall and say, hey, what about this? Or if you think that you are a fascinating person,
mm-hmm.
and that we should interview you, or I've got an interesting perspective on this, you know, we'd love to have you in as far as that goes. Also, too, a lot of people have said some pretty phenomenal things about the shorter episodes that we've started to do. And so look for more of those. When we have ones where, like, for example, we just did the Mackenzie Wagner, the 11, now 12-year-old who has written a book. It wasn't enough for a full episode, so we just kind of put it out. If there's other ones, other book authors or people that you think, mm-hmm. you know, in the news that we should get into.
We did a return missionary, too. Just talked to the return missionary.
Yeah, at the end of that episode.
He was, like, back for, like, a day.
Still not engaged yet.
Oh,
I've been keeping tabs on him.
Oh, shoot.
But he will be. Guarantee it.
Big things for him in 2013.
Yeah. Get married, having a baby.
Yep.
All in 2013. Knock it out, pal. So stay with us. Follow us. You can always subscribe on iTunes to make sure that you don't miss anything. And look for us to get on Stitcher and some other things this year to make it a little easier on you. In addition, we're always on that app that you go to in the iTunes store and also in the Google Play. It's LDS Podcasts. We're there with a bunch of other ones that I didn't know there was any other LDS-themed podcasts. I thought it was just us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think there are multiple.
Nope, there shouldn't be.
Yeah.
There should really just be this one.
We should contact them, and we should all just combine and make one supergroup.
Call them the Cultural Hall.
And call them the Cultural Hall.
So that's coming up. Let's get into this. We're going to visit with Betsy. It's your New Year's resolutions. Happy New Year.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
It's time now for the second block of the Cultural Hall. It's me, Richie T, and joining me is Lindsay.
Good afternoon.
Good.
What? I was going to say good morning, but it's not the morning.
And it's something that people can get whenever. So for all intents and purposes,
good
could
day.
Also be good evening. And joining us is Betsy Scow, author of the book Finished Being Fat.
That's right.
And it's all about this. It's all about New Year's. New
I'm
Year's
so
resolutions.
Excited.
Making it stick. Woo!
And not giving up on it. But before we get into all of that, I want to have everyone get to know Betsy, and we're going to give during this we're going to give 5 tips, right?
Sure.
Is that what we decided?
5 works. 10.
How many did you make?
100.
How many did you come prepared with?
I made 10.
All right,
I was an overachiever today.
We're going to do 10 tips on some weight loss, weight diet, all that kind of stuff.
Awesome. How to keep your goals this year.
I'm going to pick your brain.
Okay.
You know this, right? Okay.
So we're going to get to that in a minute. But as we were getting ready and Lindsay started doing the actual episode before we had the microphones turned
because
on.
Because you don't understand, as a girl, this is a daily thing for us. We are constantly struggling with how to stay skinny. Constantly.
But it's not just about staying skinny, as we're going to find out. I think it's about finishing things. But yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's an interesting topic.
Yeah.
So isn't that awesome that Betsy's here to talk about it for everyone, not just for you, when the microphone is turned on?
All right, it's on now. Let's go.
And before we turned on the microphones, I asked Betsy where she went to high school, and you didn't. So I want to get into this just a little bit. First of all, tell us how old you are.
I am 31.
And you're from, born and raised where?
West Virginia.
Okay. So you're of the West Virginia Mormons.
Yeah. Okay. I'm from the cultist section.
Okay. From the cultist section.
Okay.
So now talk about why you said you didn't even go to high school. Let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah, this actually plays into all of everything. Was living in West Virginia, had a really rough time of it. I was fat and depressed and just had a rough time being the only Mormon basically around. I'd grown up in West Virginia and gone to elementary school with the whole, my kids can't play with you because you're Mormon. Where's your horns? And they'd feel, you know, your forehead for your horns.
Really?
They'd come out of the mine and be like, horns, right?
Yeah.
Because West Virginia's pretty cold.
Not the part I was in, but yes, there are lots of that. I mean, but some parts very redneck, very Southern Baptist.
Okay.
You know, it was all good until people found out that I was Mormon, and then it was, oh, I can't go to the dance with you tomorrow. Sorry.
Really? So people that would be like, hey, we're going to homecoming. We're excited.
Yeah. And then got ditched the day before.
Aww.
And it was like, oh, this kind of sucks.
That'll scar you for life.
Yeah. You know, surprisingly, my best friends of all was a Jew and a Catholic. And they were just the coolest, like, we're picked on too. It's all good.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Together.
But, you know, it was one of those where the steakhouse was over an hour away. Mm. And then that was actually where you went to church. And so
how did your parents find the church, or were they lifers?
Yeah, lifers. And so it's just we transferred from Utah to West Virginia for a job when I was really, really little. And so got stuck out there.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Appreciate that.
Natural gas. So I went to, they decided, it'd be so much better if you went to a Christian school.
Yeah,
people
Mormons
would
are
understand
Christian.
You. Oh, okay, let's do that. And so I started my first year of high school at Christian school. That lasted for a whole month. And had my locker spray painted F the cultist.
Oh, no.
Had bottles thrown at me. Was asked to leave prayer circle because I prayed differently. Was ostracized because I wouldn't do the saved thing at the altar, you mm-hmm. know, and I was just like, this is creepy. And they're like, but you need to accept Jesus Christ as your savior. I do.
Yeah. I got that part covered.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm just not going to say his name 80 times in a prayer, in the same 5-minute prayer. I was, you know, enjoying a lot of things with that, not the social part. And the principal called me in one day, and because it's a private school, they can do this. And he said, you know, you're one of the most Christian people I've ever met, but we have to ask you to leave because you're not Christian.
Right.
And the parents had all met and decided that they didn't want to have a non-Christian in their school.
And they were waiting outside the principal's office with burning stakes and, you know,
that's
pitchforks.
Tar and feathers. And yeah,
that's pretty much what it felt like. And so, yeah, we just decided at that point, my sister was graduating that year.
From that school?
No, she was going to a different school. She didn't have quite as hard a time as I did fitting in.
Were there not public schools around? Or?
They were. It's just I had a tougher time fitting in with them. And I guess I'm a little more confrontational with... Yeah. Was especially at the time of being Mormon, I was like, yeah, and
yeah, what, and
yeah.
what
exactly?
And what?
So what? Don't swear around me. What's your problem?
Smack, smack.
Yeah, and just didn't know how to, you know, where my sister was more could hide in the background, still lived her principles, but didn't feel the need to
get more passive to show
it up. And she was doing all right and finished school and came to BYU, and so my mom's like, let's just all take you along with you. And I was pretty much scarred enough by high school at that point that I was not going to try again. And so just skipped, did all the tests and everything I needed to do, and went straight to UVU and BYU.
Good for you.
So that
and
was at 16.
And studied what?
Music for a couple years until I quit, gave up because it was too hard, because big fish, little pond in West Virginia, mm-hmm. little goldfish in the big sea of BYU awesomeness. Mm-hmm.
Or do you sing, or what is it that you
Composing piano.
Oh, wow.
So that's what I was doing for a couple of years till I got married and had kids, and just kind of languished in stay-at-home momdom of being unhappy of, you know, like that feeling of this isn't enough and I should have been so much more, but I don't know what to do about that. And I'm just so depressed. I can't get out of my bed and I'm not happy with my life. I'm not happy with my body. I'm not happy with, you know, anything. And I don't know what to do about it. And on the weight, of, you know, being fat, you've got that around your middle, but more than that, you have the weight of all the things that you didn't do mm-hmm. because you failed, because you gave up, so it was a constant reminder every time I passed the piano. I didn't play for 10 years.
Really?
Because every time I passed it, I would just get nauseous and think I couldn't hack it at BYU. I wasn't good enough. Mm. And so it just made it so I didn't want to try anymore because I knew I couldn't be the best.
So did you have kids before you lost the weight, or did you lose weight, have kids, lose more weight?
I have gained and lost probably, you know, several sumo wrestlers in my lifetime. It's always been a battle of gain, lose, gain 10 more pounds than you lost, and then lose again.
It's a common story.
Yeah.
And so I was actually my most successful diet attempts was always being pregnant. I threw up every day for 9 months, so forced bulimia. But
and she of course is joking. What you can't see is the sarcastic.
Okay, sorry.
No. But I just want to make sure.
Yes, it's not fun. I don't recommend it, and that's why I have 2 children, and I will never have another. But as soon as you know the kids came, and I was happy and loving, and I can eat again, mm-hmm. and just blow up. I lost about 30 pounds with each of my pregnancies, and gained about 50 during nursing and while I was, you know, that first year afterwards. And so it was actually after my second daughter that I had just had been a year. I've been trying sort of to keep it on the lower end of life, but had already gained back, you know, all of the weight, and then a couple, probably about 15 pounds more than when I started out at being pregnant. And just one day got on the scale and I was 10 pounds heavier than the month before. And
that was it.
Yep. Fell off the scale, broke it. And
really?
Yes.
Legitimately fell off of it and broke
and
it.
And naked. Yes. It wasn't fun. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
Because that's what you do in first thing in the morning, right?
You
get up, take off everything because everything counts. You hold your breath. So because
breath counts.
Yeah. You know, and you say a little prayer and you look down and it was just the fact that it was 10 pounds
and
more.
And you fainted and that's how you fell.
Okay. Yeah. I just went, the legs buckled and just.
No, really?
Yeah. My husband was dead asleep. My legs buckled, landed on the glass scale and travertine floor.
Oh.
The scale broke.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, reverberates off of the travertine. My husband wakes up like, what? 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 And so he comes into the bathroom and I'm just wailing, I'm fat. And he's just like, there's no right answer to this, is there?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the guy just comes in and goes,
good morning.
Hi.
Yeah. It was like,
I know I'm not going to win. Yeah.
There.
Here, sweetheart. Is this okay? Is this all right? Is this the thing I'm supposed to do?
Well, and I don't mean to make light of your situation, but that's kind of the joke, right? That you break the scale when you get on it, and you almost literally did.
Yep. It had a nice crack, and it didn't work after that. So.
Okay. So that was then, though.
Yeah.
Right? How long ago is this?
October of 2010.
Okay. And now we're looking in, you know, the first of the year, end of December. So what has happened since that time, which, by the way, as I'm thinking of that, hopefully you can look back and laugh at now where you are this point, looking at a naked, broken glass self on the floor of the bathroom going, well, that ain't me anymore.
Yeah, no, that was the greatest part of writing the book, was going through all the life lessons and all the things and picking out those funny moments and and just being completely irreverent about it, but totally open of, you know, I'm not some inspirational going to sell you the secret to life. It's just, this is what happened to me and I hope you laugh along with it kind of thing. So I definitely do.
So what'd you do? You pick yourself up, you make sure there's no glass embedded anywhere it shouldn't be.
Yep. And then, you know, just that immediate thing that you've done 50 million times of every time you have that thud in your life of you are on the bottom. You just, I got to do something. I got to do something big. I got to, you know, plastic surgeon was not an option because I'm poor. But I decided to do the HCG diet at that point in time.
Okay.
And
for people who don't know, HCG is?
It's human growth hormone. Yeah. But basically, you take this, if you do the cheap way, you take some homeopathic thing on your tongue twice a day and have 500 calories a day.
Right.
And the medicine is supposed to curb your appetite.
Yeah. And I was the most miserable human being for 3 weeks.
But I bet you lost weight if you're only eating 500 calories and putting a drop on your tongue.
Exactly.
It works.
It does.
Magic.
Yeah, I lost about 30 pounds. And then there was just this moment of absolute panic because all you're eating is like two apples and a little bit of chicken breast.
Yeah.
All day. There's just that moment of panic right before you're going to start eating normally that I knew with an absolute certainty that little voice in the back of my head says, you're going to get fat again and it's going to be worse and it's going to be bigger and there's not a thing that you can do about it. And that was just that first real moment of revelation that I've been beating my head against this wall so many times and this wall of failure is so big that I can't even see over it anymore. I don't see a way out. I just don't want to do this anymore. Something has to change, not just the diet of the week. Something has to be different. And that was when I really started cluing into, okay, you know, I don't ever want to diet again, ever, ever, ever. You know, people would say, oh, it's okay, you just do the HCG diet again if you gain weight. No, no, no. That was not going to happen ever.
Plus, it's hard on your body.
It is.
Because your body needs calories for a reason.
Yeah.
For it to function.
It's not good for, you know, and anything, if it is not bunk anyway, anything that messes with your hormones, probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
And at that point, I just realized, okay, I'm going to start taking it one step at a time and start changing the way that I'm living, changing the way I'm eating. And we got to figure out something different so that the reason why diets fail is because they're changing your habits for a short amount of time without changing your habits, really. And so as soon as that short amount of time passes and you go back to the crap you've always been doing, you're going to get the same results you've always had.
And that's one of the things I do, too, is I think, okay, as soon as I lose 10 pounds, I'm good. Or as soon as I get to this waist size, then I'm good. And then I think I'm done. But this seems to me like you made a lifestyle change more so than like, okay, I just got to this point and then I was done. I think if you change like what you're saying to change, it's going to go on forever.
And that's what it is you realize, you know, that it's not just food that's making you fat. It's all those years and pileups of weight of failure on your back. It's all the things that you haven't finished. That little voice, that little demon in the back of your head says, you can't do this. You suck. Whatever.
Mine yells.
Yeah.
That's pretty loud.
You suck.
Yeah. You suck a lot.
There are very few people that have a very special voice that it's just like a lawnmower. You know, it's like, get out of the way. Moving, you know, I can do anything. Yeah. Most people not blessed with that. And you really have to move past that and learn how to tune it out, kill it, whatever you got to do to just, because that's what keeps you from succeeding. It's not the ho-hos. It's not grandma's fudge. It's...
Although I do love ho-hos and grandma's fudge.
Grandma's fudge is delicious.
With the nuts and they come individually
sometimes
wrapped.
Sometimes she put mint in it.
Oh, yeah,
marshmallow.
Right? And the tin that comes with the wax paper.
So,
oh, sorry.
It's
all good.
How did you do it? Like, what was the first step? And maybe this gets into the...
Yeah.
We're ready for tips, I think we're going to come back in the third block, and we'll just go through. You've prepared... How would you best like to introduce these? 10 tips for... Finishing what you started?
Yeah, for making your resolution stick this year. Weight loss or not.
Coming back in the third block.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5576 to book your shoot today.
Time for the third block of the Cultural Hall, joined by, it's me, Richie, and Lindsay right there.
Good day.
And Betsy right there. Thank you for saying good day.
Good day.
Good part of the day, wherever you may be listening and at what time. Betsy, what's the name of your book? We haven't even mentioned it.
Finished Being Fat.
We did mention it. Being Fat. Where can you get it?
I believe Desert Books, Siegel, online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Costco. I'm not sure whether they're carrying it or not.
You haven't done the Costco book tour yet?
They're really picky. They have a small little table. That's how you know you've made it in Utah, is if you get in the Costco.
Is it really? It is.
On honestly. A Saturday?
No, seriously. Whenever. Yeah. Yeah, because you get sample day on Saturday.
Right.
But like anytime I go to Costco, I always look for the people at the tables, because we've had a couple guests here in the Cultural Hall because of when I was shopping at Costco, I went, what's that guy doing? Or what's that girl?
What book did he write?
New York Times bestseller. No, just the Costco table. If you make the Costco table, you have arrived.
Ta-da.
That's
so
awesome.
So Finish Being Fat is the name of the book. And you have an accompanying blog or somewhere where people can read about stuff?
It's finishbeingfat.blogspot.com.
Boom. So now you're going to give us 10 tips, right? We don't have to buy the book here. This is the best part. But you're going to want to buy the book.
Yeah.
Because there's more to it than just what this is.
Oh, yeah. It's not a tip-based book. It's the whole accidental adventure that got me from point A to B and the things that I learned along the way. And this is just a nice little summary. Yeah. Nice little picking a few points out. But the stories are what you want to stay for.
Okay. So here we go. Number one.
Okay. Number one is to make action-packed goals. And that's knowing the difference between a goal and a dream. So a lot of people make the mistakes on a New Year's resolution to say, I'm going to lose 40 pounds in 3 months. Sounds like a normal thing, right? You can't control how fast you lose weight. You really can't. Your body is going to be individual. You can be doing all the right things and just for chemical reasons or whatever, it's just not going to happen. And so let's say you lose 35 pounds. Well, you didn't reach your goal and you're crushed and life is over. And then you go back.
If I lost 35 pounds, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah, I'd be jumping for joy at that point. Woo. Yeah.
You wouldn't exist if you lost 35 pounds.
Yes, I would.
Shut your mouth.
And that's one of the problems is a lot of people don't give themselves credit for that. It's because they didn't get where they said that this is vision of where they're going to go. And so I would advise to make an action-oriented goal.
So like what? Like
so
what,
instead,
if that
for
was
that,
what your goal
yes,
was.
Then you would say, I'm going to eat less and move more for this this extended period of time.
I can do that.
Yeah, I'm going to hit the gym for 45 minutes every day.
Because that's something you can do. You mark it,
yes.
Go.
Yeah.
Mark it when you're done.
And that way you have a tangible success every single day that you can say, yep, I did exactly what I said I was going to do. Mark it off. Let's move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And then if you do that, the results will come. But it's not some set idea of this is exactly what I have to be successful. You know, I have to look like Giselle, whatever her name is.
Bundchen.
Yeah, there you go.
After having a baby, she still looks like ridiculous.
It's not fair, and sadly, all of our bodies are not equal. It doesn't fall off an assembly
line. All bodies have to be equal, don't we? Isn't that the misconception where we go, but we both have.
Yeah, no. When you sit in the gym and you realize that no matter how much effort and how much weight you lose, you will never look like Workout Barbie.
Right, but that's the reality. And I think with a lot of people, that's the struggle, is that they go, oh, I could.
Yeah.
And they're just not realistic. It's like, no way.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And it works for guys, too. Guys, if you're listening, some of you, no matter how many times you hit the gym, will not look like Taylor Lautner or any of those big, the 300 guy.
Gerard Butler
or something.
Yeah,
from 300.
Yeah. Some guys can pack on the muscles when they do that intense training. Some guys, like my husband, will be a computer nerd. Even if they spent 5 hours at the gym every day, he'd be a slightly buff computer nerd, but he'd
That's
still have chicken legs.
That's my husband, too. Yeah. Bless his heart.
Yeah. It's
tall and skinny, but
it's just you cannot change your fundamental body type, and you need to make those realizations. And instead of trying to change and control what you cannot, make goals to control your own actions.
Okay. I think we should all just move to countries where being fat is like better than being skinny, right? Aren't there some countries where you like
enough of you.
So
number one is make action.
Yep, action-oriented goals.
Action-oriented
I like that.
Goals.
Okay.
Boom.
Done.
Write that down. Are you writing that?
Action-oriented goals.
There's a pen somewhere here.
All right.
I'll throw you my flashcards afterwards.
Pen. I swear there's a pen.
I'll put it in my phone. Go on.
Done.
Okay. Next is commit to quit being a quitter.
Commit to quit being a quitter.
That's right. Quit one more thing for the rest of your life, and that's being a quitter. Take stock of whatever you've done before and look at all the projects, the craft room that you have.
Look in your house and go, that's a thing I started.
My coupon drawer.
Yeah. Exactly. And just commit to saying, especially in weight loss, that I'm worth it and I can make this work. No matter what or how long it takes, that your success is not time-based. You don't have to make bikinis by swimsuit season or whatever. That the only way to fail is if you give up. And so just decide now that there is no giving up. You have to do it, no matter what.
It's so hard.
Yeah, too bad.
But if you set action goals, then you will not, you will achieve them.
I'll be motivated because I won't be failing all the time.
Exactly.
And because you're deciding what you want in your life. Is if you want it, you're worth it. Go for it and do whatever it takes to get it done. This also applies in, you're going to the gym and, you've got your goal set 45 minutes every day, right? Minute 20 rolls around. Your legs are a little tired and it's going, Big Bang Theory comes on in about 5 minutes. Yeah. I could go home, hit that, have some nice, hummus, something. I don't know. And
I don't know if nice and hummus ever go together for me, but I get where you're saying. But I get where you're saying.
Yeah. But that you're just like, I don't really need the 20 minutes. No, commit that if you take the equation out as you're making your goals, that there's no quitting early. It rain, sun, shine, you do what it takes to get your goal done that day. You find a way around it. Life will interrupt. It always does.
Mm-hmm.
And you readjust and you move past it and decide that as soon as you make your goal so that the failure is not an option because you're never going to quit.
Okay.
All right.
You getting this? Did you write number two?
Yeah, I did write number two. I'm just feeling anxious about failing at my goals. I'm nervous to even start because I'm nervous that I'm going to fail at it.
Well, you can't because you're just going to quit being a quitter. And so
you
can't fail because you're not going to quit. That's the only way to fail.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if it takes you a longer time because you're going to keep moving forward and you'll be good.
Okay.
Number three.
Number three is to kill the little voice in the back of your head that says, I can't. If you can't kill it, if you're not a murderer, that's okay. Just tone it down. So
this is a hard one for me.
Yes. People will attest in an Alpine gym where that will go unnamed that there was a crazy lady in 2010 that would be on the elliptical singing full blast Kelly Clarkson's My Life Will Suck Without You because
I thought I was going to be stronger.
No. Yeah. This just happened to be what was on my playlist. But
Oh, it's you?
Yes.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I thought it was someone else.
At the Alpine Gym.
Jason Chaffetz would walk in to the gym, see that I was there, and walk out.
Really?
Yes.
Congressman Chaffetz. Good for him.
Oh, bless his heart.
Yes, in his little BYU garb. But it was... because people would see me there and go, no, it's not worth it.
I can't do that.
But that was literally what I had to do for the first little while to get me past that 20-minute mark where that voice in the back of my head was saying, you can go home. It's okay. Nobody will know. And or the, you know, you're going to get fat. You can't run that mile. You can't run a mile. And so that was what worked for me to start with, was just, it's hard to think if you're singing at full blast. And so
okay.
I would, you know, do whatever it takes. Another tip to do that is, do your best from SNL, the Stuart Smalley, I think, impression.
You're
I'm
good enough.
I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me. It sounds so corny. My therapist told me for years to do this and I never believed him. But it does. You have to do that positive self-talk to drown out the negative. And it doesn't have to be, I'm good enough. I'm smart. Just, I can do it. I'm awesome. I never give up. Go. And then I promise after enough hearing that, you actually start to believe it. And that's what gets us so bad by our adult lives, is because we hear all those negative things for so long that we start to believe it. And that's when we start repeating it in our own head. And you need to change the dialogue.
I had a mission president who always, he would say, you know what, if you're feeling depressed, what you need to do is look at yourself in the mirror. And he said he would do this every day. And we asked his wife if he did it. And sure enough, he did. He'd look in the mirror and he'd go, Earl Cutler, you handsome devil, you. And that's, and he's like, and it sounds corny and it sounds whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did it. And I, for the rest of the duration of my mission, I was like, I can do this. And then it started to be one of those things where it's like, you almost look forward to it, where it's like, checking in.
Yeah.
I can do this.
You feel really stupid to start with, but I promise, as weird as it sounds, it does really help.
I'm just going to pick a really good saying like that. Like, you are stunning.
Just
something
go,
like that.
Superstar.
Yeah.
Totally. I like SNL, in case you can't tell.
No, I couldn't tell.
No,
I think that's reference number 22.
Right hey, there. That was only the second one. It wasn't that bad.
I'm just giving you a hard time. So number four.
Close and lock all the escape hatches. There's always a fallback plan, you know, of... one of the things that my goals was as I was losing the weight is my husband said just randomly one day as we're walking our children in the park, let's run a marathon. And neither one of us could run to the mailbox at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And so my plan was to start with was I'm just going to keep going until he quits because he's going to quit within a month, I guarantee you. And that didn't happen. And then it was, okay, well, I'm not going to register yet because I'd hate to be out the money when we quit.
Right.
And so I'm saying, don't give yourself the back door. Commit at the very beginning. If it's, you know, a race kind of thing, pay the money, get the hotel room, whatever. Plan on success from the very start. Don't leave yourself an out of, oh, well, you know, if I don't do all these things, then at least I can do X instead. You know? Mm-hmm. So,
or I haven't put into this stuff, so it's not a big deal to bail out on.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. It is a big deal. And, you're psyching yourself out before you even start. You have to approach it. You know, if you've made your action-oriented goal, you've then said, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Then there should be no reason not to assume that you're going to succeed.
I have an interesting story very quickly about this. When I first started dating my wife, I had committed or said out loud, hey, I was going to run the Las Vegas Marathon. Mm-hmm. And I had done it before. And said, yeah, I'm going to do this. And because it was early on in dating my now wife, I was like, well, I can't let her, you know, think that I'm some sort of quitter. Mm-hmm. And so I went ahead and I was like, okay, but I didn't train as much as I should have. And I finished it, mm-hmm. but it was one of the most miserable experiences for me, but I did it. So it's one of those things where I weigh it out and I go, I am so glad that I did it because I said I was going to do something and
right.
I finished it. And that's how I even finished the race,
yes.
was because I had said I was going to do it. But since that time, I've gone, all right, I need to be really careful on the stuff that I commit to and not allow these things to excuse me out of, you know, doing a training run and all that, because that was the most miserable 4 hours and 53 minutes of my entire life.
Yeah. And I kind of had a similar thing. I ran a sprint triathlon. Mm-hmm. So I did the swim, bike, run, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just a mini one. It's like not even like the full, like.
It's like a wading pool and then you bike around the corner.
You have floaties.
You have floaties and then you bike to the parking lot and then you run to the, Yeah, it was like that. So, but it was a huge accomplishment for me because I, to that point, it was like, you know, couch to sprint triathlon, you know? It was like I hadn't really done anything like that ever in my life before. Mm-hmm. And I started by just like going out and doing the three things. I swam, I biked, and I ran. And I was like, okay, I can do all these things. Now I just got to put them together. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of one of those like I gave myself a little mini goal first, like a mini like, all right, you can do a little bit of this. Yeah. Now go do more of it kind of thing. So
and that's definitely
along the same lines.
That's definitely great, you know, as you're starting out is – you don't have to just say, I'm going to run a marathon. Go for a mile. Mile's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you can move
mile.
On. But
yeah.
This one forced me to push a little harder than I had intended. But it was also, for me, the most, just the craziest thing that I could think of. I mean, my sport was making bum indentations in the couch. That was what I was really good at. So
I'm good at that too.
Yeah. The thought of, it was just so inconceivable that everyone I knew was like, are you kidding me?
All right, Betsy.
Yeah. Exactly.
I got five on the side, says she doesn't make it to June.
Yeah, pretty much. So that was one of those, that's a great thing to do, is set an impossible goal that you just keep working for and working for, because once you achieve that, nothing will ever stop you again because the whole world is open to you. So that kind of goes into the next tip is to change your perspective, and it changes your reality. You know,
number
you've always
five,
heard,
right? That's where we're at.
I have no idea.
Where are we at?
We are at 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, this is 5.
Okay. You know, you've always heard that perspective is reality or perception is reality. So if you change your perception, you will change your reality. A lot of women in particular, especially women who have struggled with weight, look at the world with fat goggles is what I call them. It's like beer goggles for fat people.
That is so big.
And the whole world is tainted with, she's smaller than me, she's bigger than me, I could fit in those pants. And everything about your life is aspected towards that. About it. And so take them off. Don't look at the world.
Yeah, but how?
Yeah, how do you take them off?
That's the tougher part. Is as you're going through all these things, you'll notice that your perspective starts to change. As you're starting to succeed at things, you're starting to change the dialogue in your head. You're starting to work towards the goal. You're not quitting. And you just have to physically, almost, not physically because you're not wearing goggles, but just take them off and not look at it anymore. Stop the dialogue in your head and say, I'm not going to compare myself to anybody else's size. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to help. I'm never going to look like that person. You're your own body, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's for anything. Is I have friends that I knew from West Virginia that some went to MIT, some ones in Groundlings. I mean, successful people. Then I'm just like, when they ask me on Facebook, what do? I'm a mom. You just feel like, loser. And you have to look at what you're doing as your own goals and your own life and not compare and contrast to anyone else. And that was when I realized, you know, being a mom is a way harder job than chemical engineering or any of those kind of things. And so I have to keep two little people alive every day and make them better than the day that they were before.
Yeah, and not screw them up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the pressure for that is huge.
Yeah.
So, you know, now I'm like, yeah, I'm a mom.
All right, chemical engineer.
Yeah. One of the big things that I noticed for this was one of those that it's harder for me to tell you how to do it. You'll know when it happens is I've always had this vision of me as being the fat one in the family. You know, I have three sisters. I imagine them as all being skinny and I was big and fat and I would never look at any old pictures. And so that was my vision in my head. That's what I saw in the mirror. That's what it wasn't until I was losing weight that I started looking at old pictures again. And before I looked at it, I'm like, oh, this is the Hawaii trip. I was like a big beached whale, you know? And I looked at the picture and the person I thought I was wasn't in the picture. I had so tainted my life and tainted my childhood, with images of me, of what I thought I was, that I wasn't seeing the right thing. And you need to take an honest sit down look at what your life is and how you're seeing things and just start changing it.
Cool. Number 6.
All right.
as she takes the cards out, and as I notice, I'm sitting kind of slouchy, and I'm playing with
a little bit of fat.
I'd call it skin because I like to live in denial, but I'm like, it's probably.
And I'm thinking, all right, where am I going to fit the gym in today? I can do it. I can do 45 minutes. Where is it going to fit
you
in?
You can do it. Stairs. Toss the nuts from the peanut gallery.
Okay.
Okay. Explain.
Explain is everybody's got an opinion. Some of them are helpful. Most of them aren't.
Yeah.
And everybody's got their own private peanut gallery, and you need to toss the nuts out, even if they're your loved ones. Just don't. Don't, you know, you are your own little goal-oriented machine at this point. You don't need everyone else's accolades, you know, to get you to keep continuing.
It's, oh, really? Because I really need that from, like, my husband. And
you look good, darling. Oh, yeah. I can keep going.
It's all, like, seriously, isn't it when, like, someone tells you you look thin that it's a lot more motivating to go out and, you know, if workout is your goal, if getting skinny is your goal?
That was for me to start, but then there was more the worry of, well, what if they think that I'm not? What if they think that I'm getting fat?
Well, that's when they just don't say anything. So then you know that they think that.
Or I just think that they're lying. And so I just took them out of the equation.
Okay. That's a good plan.
And just looked in the mirror and thought how I was doing. Did I think I was getting skinnier? Did I think I was looking more fit? Did I feel better? Because people have all sorts of good people have all sorts of helpful advice. You know, as I was telling people, I'm going to run a marathon. Most laughed. Some said, you know, is the fee refundable? You could try the 1 mile tot, you know, 1K tot trot or whatever for Alpine. My dad, whom I love immensely, actually said, well, don't throw out your fat clothes.
Oh, jeez.
But he's a big man, and it's one of those where he's been there, done that, and sure. He's very practical, very finance guy. So he was thinking, you know, we've seen this lots of times. We have seen you go from, you know, double X down to a large, you know, all this stuff. And so I've seen you have to max out your credit cards to get new clothes. So why don't you just hold on to those fat clothes? And to me, that was saying, I heard that as, you're going to fail.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to get fat.
Yeah.
I don't believe in you.
I don't think that he did that intentionally.
No.
Certainly.
Absolutely not. And as we were, you know, discussing this, I've had the weight off for a year, and I asked him again, you know, what do you think now? And he was still on the same plane of, let's see how where you're at in another couple of years, because for him it's so unfathomable that you can maintain something like that because he doesn't believe it, because he's never been able to do it himself.
Well, because his perception is his reality.
Exactly. Like, and I was able, people in Utah will get this, but they asked me, okay, what did you do with your fat clothes? I turned it into a quilt, because so I have a fat clothes quilt that has the little tags on it, because it gets cold at night now. I don't have all the layers of I was 220 pounds and size 18.
Sorry, I didn't mean to mouth
large.
Wow, but no. I realized that I did.
Yeah,
like, wow.
I didn't see
and
that.
I was a big girl, and now I'm, you know, like a 4'6" small, and I get cold, and so yeah. Cut out little squares. I'm not a quilter by any means, but I can cut out squares with the little tags on it. And yeah, I tell people from other states, and they're like, that's weird.
Yeah.
But I wanted, you know, that's a reminder to me without actually keeping them, because it's not, that's that closing the safety hatch.
Mm-hmm. Can't go back to them.
You can't. It's, you're not going to, you don't need them. But I liked that reminder of where I was. And some of them are important, like, you know, my 10th anniversary dress. You know, that kind of thing. And you just have to let other people not affect your reality. You're changing your own perception and your own reality, and it's all based on you and what you need. So just toss out the nuts. Love them anyway. But just say, you know, thanks. But I got it.
I love that it's called your fat quilt.
Yeah,
that's,
I know,
my fat quilt.
And you can't unquilt the quilt.
No.
Yeah, maybe I can put these back together.
Yeah, can I just sew them back together?
I can make a poncho, you know, just change it.
So number 7?
I just lost all the things on my phone.
That's all right. We'll get them.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I was writing them all down, and then I lost them. Okay.
You will rewrite these.
Dang it.
And you cannot leave until you get them.
Adults need sticker reward charts, too. This is the mom in me. That, you know, for kids, potty training, you've got, or anything naughty behavior, you've got that sticker chart on the wall that every time you do something good, you get a sticker. That, my daughter helped me accidentally make one. I had all my, as I was training for the marathon, had all my miles on my calendar, and every time I completed my training run, I'd put a check mark, and she's like, you're missing the stickers. And so she went and got all the stickers.
Oh, really?
And
that's
put stickers
awesome.
On my calendar of every day that I ran. And then she's like, wow, you have a lot of stickers. what's your reward? And I was like, I don't have one. I think that that's a really good idea. And it just started me thinking of how often do we give ourselves credit mm-hmm. for what we're doing? And so that's basically what this tip is just stop and find a way, as you're, you know, losing weight, make sure at the end of the day, if you've done well, you know, you've lived within your calorie budget, whatever, that you have something that's a reward. So that you don't feel like all this hard work and I'm not doing, you know, take a moment, and every day that you do what you said you were going to do, you don't have to really use a real sticker chart, but it's more fun that way. But
I think it'd be cool
to see all the stickers go up. That's so cool.
It is a physical representation that a lot of us need. You know, you run a marathon, you run at any race, you get a finisher's medal. And that's what I'm all about now. And you don't have to just have the actual one around your neck. You can turn anything into a finisher's medal. And if you've lived as long as I have with that self-esteem problems and that feeling of just utter failure where some days you just can't get out of bed, that's what I needed, was to start not even tearing down the wall of failures, but start building up a new mountain of finishes. And so...
Write that quote down,
kids.
Oh,
that is profound.
So start giving yourself credit. And then when that little voice starts saying, you can't, you say, oh, yes, I can. Look at my sticker chart.
See how many gold stars there are?
Yes.
Boom.
Yeah.
Kill the voice.
That works for my kids. That's my daughter. It's a little on the special side of life, and has sensory processing disorder, and doesn't like to touch things with her hands, and would not put her shoes on for the life of me. And every time, you know, she put on her shoes, she'd get her star, and she, that's how this kind of started. Like, oh, she would start counting her stars. I've done it 5 times. I think I can do this. And we work the exact same way. So when you start overcoming things that initially you're like, this is too hard, I can't go to the gym for 45 minutes, make yourself a sticker chart. And then when you're like, oh, I don't want to go to the gym, it's too hard, you can look at it and say, yes, I can. I've done it. I do it. You know, look at my awesome streak. I'm not going to mess it up. And then have something to look forward to. If just the weight loss alone is not, then say, you know, if I do 2 months of this goal of eating right, living on a calorie budget, of exercising more, I get a new pair of pants. Woo-hoo. Whatever pants,
a great reward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I am on it.
New pants. Got it.
Look at this, hubby. I put all these stickers on, I get a new pair of pants. How does that sound?
Can I get a new pair of pants for every sticker?
Yes.
I don't think it works that way.
Shoes, whatever.
Yeah, how it's going
to
happen.
Two stickers of shoes to go with that one sticker pants.
Right.
You know, your feet don't necessarily change size, but they need to look good with those new pants.
Absolutely.
So. Next tip is, when life crashes and burns, get your butt up and put the fire out. Because it will. It, no matter how well-intentioned we are and no matter how right and righteous we are, life comes crashing in and you will fall on your face at some point in time.
Yeah.
So
looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's inevitable. But the difference is, what do you do about it? You can, in weight loss, sometimes you'll have a health disability, you'll get injured, you're not able to hit the gym anymore, and so your choice is, wah, and sit on the couch and eat whatever you want and stop worrying about it. Or you figure out a way to adjust your goal and move on. This is one really happened to me 2 weeks before my first marathon, that I had spent 6 months, you know, I'd made this huge life change, told everybody and their dog, this is what I'm going to do. And I'd had a type 2 strain on my hamstring.
Ugh.
And just crash, burn. The most, I just, yeah, was just sobbing. And I get to tell this story because it's a Mormon show. Okay. I had to alter it a little bit for the book because it's a national release, but just prayed, you know, the Lord and I had been on sketchy terms for years, but I had really come back to the church over this. And so I was saying, okay, this is my moment. We've been working on this. I need you to fix it. So fix it. Can we get a blessing? Let's fix it. And
let's get one of these miraculous healings here.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
All right, I'm silence. Trying her.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing. Crickets chirping. And then I was thinking, okay, let's try again. Prayed again. And nothing. And just sobbing. And the prayer came to me and just said, Lord, please help me accept whatever I can do, that it will be enough. And get me to the start and help me find walk, crawl, run to the finish, carried by stretcher,
yeah,
and help me be okay with that. And that just that warm, fuzzy, haha, you asked the right question. Yeah. Where I had built up this image of triumphant. There was no hope of me winning ever. But this triumphant, I'm going to run the whole, show off how well and how far I've come. And it's going to be miraculous and spectacular. And there will be people, you know, at the finish line. Yeah, it didn't happen. And then I was just crushed. This vision that I had built, you know, wasn't there. And that really helped me focus on just let however much I do be enough. And as long as I try my best, it will be. And people, you know, my doctor was still, don't go, don't do it. But for me, it was more important. And I respected that, but it was more important. It was something that I had to prove, something that I had to do. So showed up. They have a walking time for the Park City Marathon that's an hour and a half earlier because you have checkpoints you have to make so that they don't close the road all day. And so showed up at 5 in the morning and started and just started at a nice slow jog at about 8 miles. That became not going to happen anymore. And it was just too painful to do anything. But I noticed that as long as I wasn't jarring, the muscle strain wasn't too much. And so I just did the old lady speed walk as fast as I could go. And it hurt and it sucked. But your choice is walk off the field and regret it for the rest of your life and just say, but nobody would have blamed me. Not one person would have said, oh, you know.
Well, you couldn't hack it through your injury, huh?
Exactly. Right. I had an out. Nobody would have said it otherwise. But I would have known that I didn't take the strong way out. And so get up and keep moving. Even though it hurts, even though it's not the way you planned it and it's not your dream, just don't sit on the floor and complain and cry, because not that you don't deserve to do that, because you do, especially in a lot of circumstances where something really awful happens to you, but you'll feel so much worse if you do.
Yeah.
You'll feel so much better if you make yourself get up and keep moving and find your way towards a new goal.
Cool. Next one. This is number 9, correct?
Yeah. This might be 10.
I think this is number 10. If I remember.
This is... This is 10.
This is number 10. Perfect.
Yeah. Great. This is just an overall. Help you in your whole life is finish something every day. This builds...
Finish my lunch every day? Because I'm really good at that.
You know, I've thought about that one. Maybe if you make that your goal, especially if it's a nice, healthy lunch.
Okay, but I'll finish my salad every day.
But this is something that really goes into your family. It goes into your own life that will just enrich your own life. Is start your day. So often we have this hurried schedule of to-do list that's 20 miles long and we never actually finish any of them. And we're running from here to there and here to there. And then you get to the end of the day and you feel like you have done nothing, even though you haven't sat down all day. Mm-hmm. But you still feel like I have accomplished nothing with my day. I've done nothing worthwhile to motivate mankind. And so,
or just yourself to go on to another day.
Yeah.
That's how I feel most days. I guess I got to do tomorrow because I didn't get anything done today.
And I changed that to if you're still alive at the end of the day, it's been a success. So my family and I, at the beginning of every day, I'll sit down with my girls and we'll come up with one goal of what we need to do individually and as a family. As she was going through a rough time with her therapy and her whateverness. Some of those was just, let's get through the day without crying. It doesn't have to be I'm going to clean my whole room kind of thing. But, and that was something for her to work for, something to strive for. And at the end of the day, when she accomplished it, some days she didn't, but it was, you know, something that we worked for and she felt so much better. It was, I did it. I know I can do it.
Yeah.
And then let's move on to the next day and try something new. And, sometimes we get so focused on long-term goals that we miss the little things. And so if we start building up those little finishes every single day, then that just builds the mountain higher and higher and higher and just helps you get things done, helps you feel more positive about yourself, about your family, and just
super empowering.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what I do.
Betsy, what's your calling in your ward right now? Do you have a calling?
No, I was just released. So,
what were you released from?
A communication specialist.
There you go.
What does
for
that
the
even mean?
Or the ward?
For the ward.
Okay. If you could pick a calling for yourself, it can be one that is existent or one that you would make up. What would your calling be?
Something in the young women's, because they scare me to death.
So you want to do something that would make you uncomfortable,
make
you grow.
Is that that's probably, you know, nursery I've done. I could take on little ones, but I still get that chill of fear every time I see a young woman. It's just like, it just reminds me of high school.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're the girls who were mean to me.
You know, it's like, what if they don't like me? So that's probably what I would need to do.
I'm afraid of screwing them up. They're so in that formidable stage. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. And
make you will.
I know.
Wait till you have your own. Those are going to be messed
terrified.
Up kids.
I know.
You start lots of praying.
You start the college fund, and then right next to it, you start the therapy fund.
Okay, perfect. Good plan.
What's your favorite part of your faith, Betsy?
Probably our individual relationship with God. That nobody else can tell you what your relationship with God is.
Cool. Yeah, I like it. Boom. Direct and to the point.
Done.
Right there. Now, remind us again, it's Finished Being Fat is the name of the book. Get
That's
it
right.
in all the... You just Google it for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You'll find it.
January 8th.
Finishedbeingfat.blogspot.com.
That's right.
Is the website. Do you have a Twitter?
Yeah, not that I use it. I'm learning, but... Yeah, my personal website is BetsySchow.com.
And that's S-C-H-O-W.
That's right.
So we hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that when the time comes, you can travel home in safety.
And if you weren't healthy enough to listen to the podcast this week, you'll be healthy enough to listen next week. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.